So it's page 1035, 1035, and it's chapter 7. The Faith of the Centurion. When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people who were listening, he entered Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was ill and about to die. The centurion heard of Jesus and sent some elders of the Jews to him, asking him to come and heal his servant. When they came to Jesus, they pleaded earnestly with him, "This man deserves to have you do this, because he loves our nation and has built our synagogue." So Jesus went with them. He was not far from the house when the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, don't trouble yourself, for I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. This is why I did not even consider myself worthy to come to you. But say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, 'Go,' and he goes. And that one, 'Come,' and he comes. I say to my servant, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him, and turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such great faith, even in Israel." Then the men who had been sent returned to the house and found the servant well.
Brilliant. Thank you, Charlotte. So God has given us Luke's gospel so that we can have certainty, the things that we've been taught. How does this passage that we've been looking at give us certainty? It helps us in these following ways. We can be certain. We can be certain of who Jesus is. That Jesus is, remember the message from the angels to the shepherds? Jesus is the Messiah, the Lord, the Saviour. Saviour's been born to you. He's the Messiah, the Lord. That's what this incident tells us, that Jesus really is the Messiah, the King, God's chosen King. And he's Lord, he's God, he's divine. He's the long-promised, long-awaited Saviour. How can we be sure? Look at that servant. Look at that servant. On death's door one moment, now alive and well. Jesus has done the kind of thing that the Old Testament said the Messiah, when he comes, will do. He will restore people who are on death's door to life. He will heal sicknesses. So Isaiah 25, Isaiah 35, here's the Messiah doing it. Jesus is doing it. It's a signpost to who he is. We can be certain he's really this person. It also means we can be certain of what Jesus came to do. What did Jesus come to do? He came to save. He came to save us. Jesus miraculously saved this poor man's life from a sickness that was killing him. And it's a signpost showing us that Jesus has come to save us ultimately from everything that's spoils life in this broken world. That's what he's come to do, to save us from everything that spoils life. That's how big his salvation is. So remember when Adam and Eve, our first parents, sinned against God, when they said, "No, we don't want you, God. We want to do our own thing. We don't want you, don't love you." At that moment, when they sinned, disease and death came into the world, and it's been an ever-present reality in the world and in our lives ever since. Sadness and misery have come into our lives along with sickness and death. But Jesus, he has come to overthrow the horrific effects of Adam's fall. Earlier in Luke, we're told that he's the new Adam, who's come to put it all back together again, to restore the world, to bring in the new creation. And that's what this incident tells us, that is exactly what he's come to do, to save people from sin and lead them to the new creation, where disease and death and sadness will be no more. How can we be certain? How can we have certainty that this new world, free from suffering, is real? Look at that servant. At death's door a few moments earlier, but now alive and kicking. And this miracle is a preview of what life is going to be like in the new world that's coming. No disease, ever. No sickness. Hard to imagine, isn't it? Who's been sick this year? Who's been sick? Who's been poorly? Who's been sick this past week? One or two people. All of us are going to be sick at some time or other. But the world where there is no sickness, hard to imagine, isn't it? Because it's such a part of our life. But that world is coming. This is a sign that it really is real, that it's certain. And we think, well, okay, that's great, but is it for me? Is it for me? Does Jesus want the likes of me in his kingdom, in his new world? Well, we can be certain. That's the next point. We can be certain of who Jesus' salvation is for. This incident tells us it's for everyone. It's even for Romans. Even for Roman centurions. For outsiders. He was an outsider. He wasn't Jewish. Jesus is the Jewish Messiah. He came from the Jews, but he didn't just come for the Jews. He came for the whole world. And here's a story that tells us that. See him going to that centurion's house. He's come for everyone. He's come to save people from every nation, every background, every social status, every race. He's come for people of the whole world. And do you know what that means? That includes you. It includes you, whoever you are. Jesus has come for you. And we can be certain as well that Jesus wants to save us just because of what we see here. We see what he's like, don't we? We see that he's strong. So he's able to save. He's got the power. But not just that, he's willing to save. He's kind. He's loving to save. He wants to. And you put those two things together and that helps certainty. Hope, real hope. Just see him going to that centurion's house. Jews weren't meant to go to Gentiles' places, to their houses. There were no-go areas. To go in would make you richly unclean in the eyes of the law. Jesus willingly goes there. He's willing to help. He's willing to save. We can be certain because of what he's like. And finally, we can be certain of Jesus' salvation because of the way that salvation comes to us. I don't know if you saw it in the story, but this passage contains the two approaches to God. One is right and one is wrong. Let's think about the wrong approach first. The wrong approach is what we might call the religious way. Religion. That was the way of the Jewish elders. Remember, they go to Jesus and they list off the centurion's goodness. Jesus, you should help him because he's generous, he's loving, and he's done this. Built a synagogue. Therefore, he's worthy of your help. He's earned it, Jesus. That's the way that we tend, all human beings tend to think when it comes to God's salvation. We think we've got to deserve it. We think we've got to earn it. We've got to work for it. God gives it to us on the basis of what we're like and what we have done. But that's not the way. Can I say that? That's not the way, thankfully. And you should be thankful that that's not the way. Because if it was the way, we would never be saved. Because we don't have what it takes to get into God's kingdom. None of us do. And we never will. So here's the right approach. That's the wrong approach. The right approach is the faith alone way. And that was the centurion's way. He knew he didn't deserve Jesus' help. He knew that he wasn't worthy of it. He knew that he couldn't earn it. But he knew something about Jesus. He knew that Jesus was strong. And he knew that Jesus was kind. And so he asked Jesus to save. And Jesus saved. And that's faith. And that's how we're saved. By faith. Faith is really simple. We kind of complicate it and think it's something that it's not. But faith is just simple. It's trusting someone to do what they say they'll do. And it's something that we see and do every day. Who got into the car to come here this morning? So that's most of it. When you got into the car, you exercised faith. Trust the car to get you here. Or if you came with your mum and dad and they said, come on, get in the car. We're going to church. Getting in the car is faith. Faith, you trust mum and dad to get you there, don't you? Exactly. Who's going on holiday further afield this year? Who's going to be getting on a plane soon? Yes, so yeah, not many people. Not many people, but when you get on that plane, you're exercising faith. You're trusting the pilot and the airline company to get you to the place they say they're going to go. The flight says Maldives. And you trust them to get you to the Maldives. When you're getting on that plane, we're going to the Maldives because they say so. That's faith. 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 I promise that I will give this packet of Haribo to whoever comes up at the front and takes it now. Who wants it? Would you like that? There you go. Faith. Faith. Well done. That's faith. Simple. Faith. Oh yeah. Faith is relying completely on the person and work of Jesus and the authority of his word to get us into the kingdom of God. That's faith. There we go. You want one? That's my last one. There you go, good lad. Faith. So this is, Jesus says, I've done the work to get you into God's kingdom. I've done the work to get you right with God. I've paid the price to get you there. I want to save you. Trust me, I'll get you in. And faith says, yes, Lord Jesus, I believe you can do that. I trust you. Please get me in. Here's my life. And that's faith. And that's how we get into the kingdom. That's how salvation comes to us. A right relationship with God, a place in his new world forever, is something we don't deserve. It's something that we cannot earn. It's a gift that God gives. It's a gift that we receive by taking Jesus at his word. It's a blow to our pride, isn't it? We like the wrong approach because we're proud. We want to kind of feel we can pat ourselves on the back. I've contributed something to this. But we can't. It's a blow to our pride. But it's a boost to our assurance. This is something that should give us certainty. We can be certain that we have salvation because of Jesus' ways, because of faith. We can know for certain that we will be in the new creation. How? Because salvation is not based on what we do, but on what he has done. It's based on what he has done. And he's done a perfect work, which means his salvation is sure. It can't fail. Salvation isn't dependent on my commitment to him or the promise that I make to him, I'll follow you, Jesus. No. Salvation is dependent on his commitment and promise to me and to you. I will get you in. And that means that it won't fail because Jesus' word never fails. Great, so if you're not yet a Christian here, it's great to have you. You're still kind of working this out, thinking, what's this all about? Do I want to trust Jesus? I want to encourage you, look at Jesus here. This is eyewitness accounts. This is true story. Jesus is real. And Jesus has come to save us. And he can save you. And that salvation is for you. It's for everyone. I want to encourage you to trust him. If you want to be in that new world that's coming, and it really is coming, you need to trust him. There's no other way, just Jesus. So let me encourage you to put your faith and trust in him today. Say, Jesus, I see who you are. I believe who you are. Please forgive me. Please get me into God's kingdom. And Jesus will say the word and you'll be in. If we are a Christian, and I take it there'll be lots of us here this morning, then here's the good news. You can be certain. You can have certainty that you will be in that new world where there's no sadness and no suffering. You can. How? Your place is absolutely secure because Jesus has said the word. That's how. And you can be certain because it's a place that you cannot deserve. You don't deserve. And it's a place that you haven't earned, which makes it a place that you can't undeserve and a place that you can't unearn. You can never lose your place once you have it. You can never lose his love once he's laid it on you, ever, because it's undeserved love. Amazing. It's good, isn't it? Fantastic. Place you can't lose. Jesus, strong and kind, says so. Jesus, strong and kind, has seen to it. I'm going to be remembering that. And Jesus, strong and kind, will see to it. Good news? Best news. It's the best news. We can be sure. We can have certainty. Let's pray. So we're going to pray that we might know this, but we're going to pray as well that others will come to know this. Pray for our Unite camp in particular. Thank you, Father, for your word to us. Thank you for showing us Jesus. Thank you that he really is the Messiah, the Lord, powerful and willing to save. Please help us to see this. Please help us to believe it. Please help us as well to share this wonderful news. We pray that this good news would be heard and received and believed at the Unite Camp this week, today and tomorrow, and for the rest of the week. We pray for those sharing your word in talks and Bible studies and seminars, and also informally. We pray that you give them grace to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. And we pray for all the children and young people there. Please open their eyes and hearts to receive Jesus. Please strengthen young people in their faith. Please teach them to stand firm in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we want to pray for people who are sick. Perhaps ourselves, perhaps people that we love and close to us who are poorly, some very poorly. In a moment of quiet, we lift them to you and we name them before you. Thank you so much that you love them. Help them to know that Jesus came for them. Help them to come to him. We pray that Jesus would be their satisfaction, their strength, their shield, and their hope. And we ask this in his name. Amen. 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 Well, we're going to share the Lord's Supper together in a few moments. We're going to prepare for that by singing.